Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, dear viewers, to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are here in the studio talking with Sayyid Agha Ali Reza from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan on this occasion of the martyrdom anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Of course, our condolences to all of you wherever you are upon the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Let's go ahead, invite our guest and begin the talk show. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Agha Ali Reza. Welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me. Assalamu alayka ya Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My condolences to you as well on the anniversary of the martyrdom of the Commander of the Faithful.
Jazakallah, Sayyid Agha Ali Reza, thank you so much again for joining us. We're here witnessing the nights of the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the most perfect disciple of the Prophet of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. Of course, the first divinely appointed Imam, the Immaculate Imam, this beautiful role model for the Muslims, here commemorating, you know, these nights of his martyrdom. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the Commander of the Faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And I know there are so many different, aspects and variables and angles that we could take it upon. But if you could just limit it to one, very outstanding feature or idea that we could expound upon on the talk show in the name of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'd like to begin with Tawheed. How can you talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam al-Mubahideen, without talking about Tawheed? Now Tawheed, as we've talked about this before, is the central theme in Islam. It is the central theme of all the divine religions.
Yes.
And in fact, it's not only central, but all other teachings of these religions, of the genuine authentic religion, especially of true Islam, are a manifestation of Tawheed.
Yes.
So Tawheed is not just one of or the most important teaching.
Tawheed, it is the teaching.
Tawheed is the soul that permeates the entire body of Islam, all of its aspects. Right? Now, the interesting thing about Tawheed is that Tawheed is a concept that comes out of the divine essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what it means, is the unity of God's existential essence, right? Islamic monotheism. When we talk about true Islam, and we talk about true Islam from the perspective of Tawheed, we see that in Islam, and especially since we are in the month of spirituality in Ramadan, in Islam, spirituality, economics, politics, otherworldly affairs, your own body, your relationship with your family, your relationship with society, your supplications, your prayers, these are not separate from one another. In fact, they are all united into one Tawheedi system.
Yes.
So when you have in Islam, in true Islam, when you are engaged in, for example, political activity, you are engaged in spiritualism. And when you are engaged in spiritual activity, that in itself is a political statement and a political activity. It is absolutely, if it's truly an Islamic expression, then it's inseparable. Yes, if somehow you've separated it, if some person has separated it, then he should kind of introspectively go through some soul searching, because he has deviated from true Tawheed.
Sure.
So whatever you do, whichever teaching of Islam that you're acting upon, you are in fact doing all of those other teachings as well. The soul is still there, because that Tawheedi system is still there. And then what is the objective? The objective again is to reach Tawheed, to existentially grow until your soul is now absorbed into the soul of the divine, into the essence of the divine. One of the things that the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said about Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was that innahu mansusun fi zatillah. Ali alayhi salam is absorbed, he's completely assimilated into the divine essence of God. And this is something that even his opponents understood. There is this story, this event, when someone was looking at a woman near the Kaaba, and Imam Ali saw him, and he slapped him across the face.
Mm.
And this person went running off to the caliph of the time, and he objected, and he complained, Ali has hit me on the face. So the caliph of the time says, Ra'aka aynullah wa zarabaka yadullah.
Mm.
What should I do? The eyes of God saw you. The eye of God saw you and the hand of God hit you.
Hmm.
Who do you want me to prosecute? Should I prosecute God? For instance.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Even his opponents understood that Ali was completely lost in the divine essence. Right?
Yes, fana fillah.
Fana fillah. And at the same time, you see that Ali's spirituality was deeply political and his politics were deeply spiritual.
MashaAllah. Yeah.
His spirituality was according to Islamic law. It did not deviate from jurisprudence, from the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. It wasn't a trans Sharia spirituality. Yeah. It wasn't one of those pseudo irfans of
sure.
other people, right?
Sure.
His Shariat was exactly his spirituality.
Mm.
And his spirituality was exactly his politics, and and you could not separate these from one another. When Ali alayhi salam, in the dead of night, in the date gardens on the outskirts of Medina, when he would pray there and when he would cry so much, and so many tears would roll out of his eyes, that in the end he would collapse and he would faint, and people would run to Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha and inform her that your husband
dead.
Has died.
Yeah,
and she would
dead.
Smile and she would say that this happens every night. Out of khashyatillah, this is what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this intense spiritual experience, was at the same time, it was completely within the bounds of Sharia. It was according to Sharia. In fact, he himself was the fountainhead of Sharia. And it was at the same time a complete expression of political resistance against people who wanted to deviate Islam. And cut Islam up into pieces, saying, oh, you know, you have spiritual Islam, this is a nice Islam, sit at home, pray, and then you have a political Islam, Islam is sunnati, traditional Islam, political Islam, then you have this jurisprudential Islam, things that you have, mutasifane, unfortunately, you still have these today.
Yeah, in the present day, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We want a spirituality which is, you know, doesn't step on any toes.
Yes. Rough edges.
Brother and sisters. There is no spirituality within the school of thought of Imam Ali alayhi salam where you're not going to be stepping on the toes of the tyrants. Even when you are doing dua al-kumail, if you look keenly at the words there, you'll see that it is parts of it are absolutely overt statements against the regime of the time, the taghut.
And the tyrants.
And the tyrants, right?
Arrogant powers.
So this separation, this secularization, internal secularization, maybe I would call this, within Islam is one of the deviances and one of the deviations and corruptions which stand completely against the ideology, the true Islamic ideology of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
MashaAllah.
And this because Imam Ali alayhi salam is the manifestation of Tawheed.
Yes.
In one of the narrations, as I mentioned earlier as well, in one of our other sessions, the Ahlul Bayt have said that we are Nahnu Asma'ullah. We are the manifestations of God's divine attributes and His names.
Subhanallah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is one of the important aspects of Imam Ali alayhi salam on this day of his martyrdom. That Imam Ali alayhi salam, he is the manifestation of Tawheed. And in Tawheed, if you're really trying to follow Imam Ali's way, then brothers and sisters, if someone is selling you spirituality which is apolitical, then this is not Imam Ali's spirituality. It is someone else's spirituality. Remember, during the events of Jamal, Imam Ali approached a person who was very famous for his worship at that time and said, why didn't you come to the army, to our encampment, when I had said that everyone should come?
Sure.
This person turns around, and I'll not say his name because of certain sensitivities. He turns around and he says that, no, I heard a supernatural voice saying, the Qatil and the Maqtul, the murdered and the murderer, are both in hell. And imagine a person talking to Imam Ali alayhi salam, talking to the pinnacle of spirituality, and trying to present this facade of being a sage.
Weasel their way out.
Yeah. So Imam Ali, he was quiet for a while, and then he said, did you understand who that voice belonged to? This person, he says, no, I didn't see who it was. Imam Ali, in what I suppose was a loud voice, he said, Ahuka Shaitan. It was your brother Satan who's trying to tell you that the Qatil and the Maqtul
are the same.
Are the same. How can someone following Amirul Mu'mineen, the person around whom haq and truth revolves, how can he be in hellfire and his enemies as well? How can they be joined together? So this false spirituality that people come up with, which is apolitical in nature, is a deviation from Imam Ali's path. In the same way, a sort of political Islam, which is not deeply spiritual, is again a deviation, brothers and sisters. It is again a deviation. It might be an involuntary and inconscious deviation, but we need to fix this. Look at our heroes, even in our own contemporary times.
Well, this I was thinking about that. I was thinking about Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Exactly. And Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Yeah.
All of the martyrs of
even
the resistance.
Ayatollah Sistani.
Ayatollah Sistani. All of these great leaders of our time. Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. All of the martyrs of the resistance front. If you look at their last wills and testimonies, if you look at their statements throughout their lives, if you look at their memoirs, which are the biographies written by other people, you will see them awash with spirituality.
Yes.
With Salatul Layl, with crying in the night. Even Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he quotes one of the martyrs of the 80-year war, and he says that the only way to achieve martyrdom in this cause is to cry in the dead of night, at midnight, in those hours when no one knows that you're crying. Cry to God. Cry to God and ask for His spiritual proximity.
Mashallah.
Because there's no other way. You can't force your way into heaven. You can't force your way to become one of the saints and those people who are close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the... And at the same time, brothers and sisters, we must realize that any spirituality or any politics that is attributed to Islam and goes outside the confines of Islamic jurisprudence as taught by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, again a deviation. And let me emphasize, sometimes some of our brothers and sisters, they take spiritual experience to be a hallmark or a sign of the authenticity of their path. Brothers and sisters, throughout history and in the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt, we know even Satan is able to invoke and create spiritual experiences. The thing that that helps us stay within Imam Ali's ideology and within his school of thought is to follow the principles set by our noble scholars, by our Maraji Taqleed, and by the Wali Faqih of our time, so that we know and we have this guarantee that we are on the path of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and obviously on the path of his son, the awaited Imam Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif.
May Allah hasten his reappearance. Sayyid Agha Ali Raza, I know you had to go somewhere, and so it kind of limited our time for this time around. But I'd really like to just ask you, one more thing. And that is there a very outstanding quality of Imam Ali alayhi salam, other than the one that we just talked about? I just want one more from you before we go, that perhaps, the brothers and sisters across the world can really apply and implement in their daily lives.
One of the, obviously, like Imam Ali alayhi salam is like the cosmos, the entirety of creation, like kind of squeezed into one body, into one human being. Right, and his soul obviously is the most expansive and the most complete and comprehensive and perfect soul after the Holy Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously, picking one of his attributes is very difficult.
It's almost impossible. Yeah.
But something that I believe is kind of relevant right now, especially because we are approaching the end of Ramadan, and then we have Al-Quds as well, and we have this manifestation of resistance. And today we are also, obviously, we are talking from the Islamic Republic, we are talking from the fountainhead of international Islamic resistance. One of the key features of Imam Ali was his steadfast struggle. Every moment of his life was a struggle, from the very beginning. Even when he was a child, he was famous for protecting the Holy Prophet against people who would throw stones at him. And Imam Ali, in many of the histories, it is recorded that even as a child who wasn't even baligh yet in the apparent sense, right, he would fight these people. And he would have bruises and cuts on him, and then the Holy Prophet would kiss him and bless him. Mm-hmm. And from that very moment, he was the protector of... There were two protectors, Brother Shahriyar, of the Holy Prophet throughout his life. Ar-Ruhul Quds and Imam Ali alayhi salam. See, it's very interesting. This parallel is very interesting. So, Imam Ali alayhi salam's struggle, it goes on and it never deviates. It never deviates, and that is the essence of the that narration, which says al-haq ma'ali wa Ali ma'al-haq. It never deviates to the point that haq will only be recognized through Ali. Right?
Mashallah.
So this continues and this continues, and then the sacrifices that he gives, it is recorded in our narrated traditions and in history that when battles used to, first of all, almost all of the battles won by the Muslims during the time of the Prophet of God sallallahu alaihi wasallam were due to the presence of Imam Ali.
Of course,
salam.
Yes, without a doubt.
He was that critical figure that would change the entire arena, who would flip the entire scenario around and bring victory for Islam. And then at the end of the day, when he would return, his body would be full of wounds. And it is narrated that when Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha would try to fix up her wounds, there would be so many wounds. When she would sew one of the kind of try to sew one of these wounds up, the other one would open because they were so close to one another. When this would be closed, that other one would be stretched open. This was the kind of sacrifice. And then that sacrifice of being in the arena all the time, and at the same time having attention towards your family, so it was a comprehensive sacrifice as well. Normally, people like us, if we kind of start focusing towards political activism, then we stop focusing towards our families. If we start focusing towards spirituality, we stop focusing towards political activity. If we start focusing towards our academic activities, we stop, and this is one of the things I've noticed in the Hawza. People come up with this excuse. They say, oh, since we are learning and studying all the time, we don't have time for these troublesome kids and our wives and so on and so forth.
Or political activities.
Or even sitting with friends and having like a light time of bonding and creating those bonds, which are very important for the Islam, larger Islamic project. But Imam Ali, being that perfect individual, he was the perfect husband, the perfect father, the perfect neighbor, the perfect soldier, the perfect worshipper, the perfect person who gave alms to the poor, the perfect scholar, the perfect exegete of the Quran, the perfect imam, everything. Even the other imams look upon him and they talk about him in awe. Sayyid al-Sajideen, he says, my prayers, my worship? To one of his companions, you talking about my worship? Imam Ali's worship, that was worship. And Sayyid al-Sajideen, obviously the name is there, Sayyid al-Sajideen, right? So Imam Ali, this holistic struggle that he had, this holistic struggle that kind of proves, because obviously the Quran says that, it talks about the Holy Prophet, but this is the principle applies to all of the Imams, that fihi uswatun hasana. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ This Imam Ali was doing all this in order to create an example for everyone else.
Yes.
And then you see, if we fast forward, all of those other oppressions that he suffered, all of those other struggles that he had, his wife being martyred in that manner, his all of those wars being inflicted upon him, his friends, his closest companions, people that he had instructed and nourished, people who he had turned from Bedouins into the greatest of scholars, greatest of spiritualists, greatest of mystics, dying at the hand of a futile war because of some adamant and jealous people who do not understand how the universe works and what the betterment of the universe is. And then he goes on and he receives all of those taunts and all of those things, and he suffers all of that oppression as well, internally as well, in his own city as well. And then at the moment of his martyrdom, what does he say? Fustu bi Rabbil Kaaba. At that point he says, ah, now my duty has finished. Now my struggle has come to a close.
He succeeded in his resistance throughout his life.
I succeeded in my resistance. I did not miss even a tiny step in my path of resistance. And it is interesting, deriving from this this narration from Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam, Imam Khomeini and Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, they have this this quotation. I have this quotation from them, wherein they say that the responsibility and the duty of a resistance fighter, of a Basiji, ends only with his martyrdom. Mm. See, this is taking example from Amirul Mu'mineen. This is the path of Amirul Mu'mineen.
And we'll add to every Muslim or every resistant person, every person who wants to oppose oppression.
Absolutely.
The only time that struggle
every
ends.
Every Muslim, his struggle, his mission is concluded at the moment of his martyrdom. Mm. And obviously, sometimes that martyrdom is in battle. Sometimes that martyrdom is at home. But the important thing is, martyrdom happens when you're still in the cultural battlefield, in the political battlefield, when you're struggling.
Yes.
And you die. That is why one of the narrations says, "Man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammadin mata sa'ida." Hubbi ali Muhammad is not just it is the expression of this, by adopting and emulating their path.
Mm-hmm. In this resistant manner.
In this manner of holistic and comprehensive resistance.
Sayyid Agha Ali Raza, thank you so much from joining us on the talk show. I know we're actually used to having a good solid 45 minutes with you, but I know you were in a rush. May Allah accept all of your worship and your ibadat and the fasting in this holy month of Ramadan. And again, our condolences to you upon the martyrdom anniversary of Amirul Mu'mineen Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And dear viewers, thank you for joining us on the talk show. We were talking about this idea of Imam Ali alayhi salam being this beautiful manifestation of Tawheed, and of course his lifelong resistance as we commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Our condolences to all of you wherever you are. And that's all from us. Fi amanallah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.